You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and as you may recall, all throughout the month of May, thanks to some special friends of our ministry, we had a $300,000 matching grant in place. Well, I want to take a moment today to thank you and everyone who participated by making a financial contribution to the JDFI in May. Every single dollar we received was matched with the matching grant. We actually even went above the matching grant amount. So we promised to steward each dollar very wisely. And on behalf of the entire Family Talk team, we are so grateful that you are walking alongside us to fight for marriage, to protect the sanctity of life, and to encourage families to draw closer with the Lord. Thanks for remembering each and every day that we are a listener-supported ministry, and we would not exist without your prayers and financial support. Keep in mind, you can always give a gift online at drjamesdobson.org. You can also give us a call at 877-732-6825. We love hearing from you. We appreciate it when you bring to us your comments, your questions, and any prayer requests you might have as well. Again, that number to call is 877-732-6825. Now, on today's program, we're going to hear a broadcast that was recorded a few years ago by our special guest, Dr. Jack Graham. Dr. Graham was speaking at a private event about the dangers of socialism. In his presentation, he highlights its failures around the world and explains why socialism is actually in direct opposition to biblical morality, a message that sadly still rings true even today. This is a fascinating and informative presentation, and we pray that you find it helpful and filled with hope for our future. Dr. Jack Graham is a great friend of the Dobson family and all of us here at the JDFI. He's a popular author, speaker, and lead pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Jack Graham on today's classic edition of Family Talk.
Just a few decades ago, Francis Schaeffer said this: "We as Bible-believing Christians are locked in a battle. This is not a friendly gentleman's discussion. It is life and death conflict between the spiritual host of wickedness and those who claim the name of Christ. Where is the clear voice speaking to the crucial issues of the day with distinctively biblical answers?" In other words, overcoming evil with good. We must be the voice of reason. May we not sin through our silence. Schaeffer said that years ago. It was a call to action. And that call remains today. Now, at the State of the Union address this past year, our president, in response to the rise of socialism in this country, said that America will never be a socialist country. Big applause, big ovation. And I pray that that is true, that this great nation would never yield to socialism. Because socialism is a political movement, it's an economic movement, obviously, but it is also a philosophical movement. Socialism is where government ownership of the means of production and the primary focus on providing equality of outcomes. In socialism, here it is, the government is all important and involved in every aspect of people's lives. Contrast that to capitalism, and this message is not going to be about contrasting socialism with capitalism, but contrasting what socialism is with the Bible, but contrast that to socialism, which is an economic system in which there is private ownership of property, and the Bible does teach private ownership of property, and goods and the means of production. These are privately owned. In capitalism, there is a limited role of government. So you contrast those two: socialism, capitalism. Heavy-handed control of government versus the free reign of society with minimal government control. Now, we're in the midst of this battle between capitalism and socialism. A recent USA Today report is that 4 in 10 Americans now support some form of socialism. 4 of 10. Maybe socialized medicine, that may be it, but at different levels. 43% of Americans, again, I don't know when to believe these polls and when not to believe it, but just for polling's sake, 43% of Americans now say socialism would be a good thing for the country. 51% believe socialism would be a bad thing for the country. So we're barely breaking even. Good thing, bad thing for the country. More and more Americans are leaning left, Marxist philosophies, especially among younger people. A recent poll of millennials found that a majority, 58% of millennials, would prefer to live in a socialist nation than in a capitalist nation. Now, only 33% of these could define socialism. Many, of course, of these see capitalism as greedy, consumer-driven, and wicked. And of course, most young people today have not seen the devastating impact and influence of Marxism, socialism, its evil big brother communism, as in the Soviet regime. They didn't live through the Cold War, as some of us have lived through that, the repression and the oppression of people. They're listening to Bernie Sanders, or they're listening to AOC, or whoever they're listening to. And if you want to see socialism as it is being conceived in America today, of course, all you have to do is turn your eyes towards Europe. If you and many of you have traveled in Europe, you've seen the impact of socialism in Europe. And yet, it was years ago, I found this quote from Winston Churchill. He gave a warning years and years ago about socialism. He said, "Socialism is the philosophy of failure." And it is a philosophy. Again, we're not just talking politics here or an economic system, but a philosophy, a way of life. And Churchill said, "It is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery." So whether you're talking about forensic socialism and communism, Marxist style, or whether you're talking about European socialism or democratic socialism, it is socialism which is sweeping the country and ultimately could take the hearts of our people. Now, young people, again, they're very hopefully compassionate about our country, and some of it is the nature of youth. Some of this whole thing with socialism is the nature of youth. Someone said, if you aren't a socialist at 20, you have no heart. And if you are a socialist at 40, you have no head. But what I want to say is that socialism and its big brother communism is fundamentally at odds with the Christian faith, with Christianity, and ultimately seeks to control and destroy faith and all people of faith. A case for biblical Christianity is in opposition for a case to socialism. And I want to mention 3 reasons why this is true. Number 1, socialism is totally secular and predicated upon atheism. No God. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is based upon the authority of God. In the beginning, God. So much theology is in that first great verse of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God exists, and we believe not only that God exists, but that He has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived and died, rose again, is coming again. This is our faith. But Karl Marx, who is the father of scientific or forensic socialism, considered religion of all kinds, and in particular, Christianity, the opiate of the masses, a drug. And he believed, especially, that Charles Darwin's theories regarding the origin of man and evolution were correct. And therefore, to the socialist, to the Marxist, God is not needed to explain anything. No need for God. In fact, the idea for God is not benign in their eyes, but harmful, and ultimately must be forcefully removed from the culture and the society. And it would be a catastrophic, hear this, it would be a catastrophic mistake to think that socialism's hostility towards people of faith, faith itself, has somehow changed since Karl Marx. It has not changed. It is still the goal of secularism and socialism to remove God from the culture and from the country. Socialist countries today are completely secular and are determined to root out Christianity. This is why churches today are still detonated, blown up, and Christians are persecuted in China. It's why bags are inspected when you go into North Korea. God forbid if you should get caught with a Bible going into North Korea, you'd find yourself in one of those prisons. It was Dr. Martin Luther King who said this: no Christian can be a communist because communism leaves out God. It regards religion as wistful thinking and the product of fear and ignorance. This is the nature of socialism. No God. But not only does it destroy the entire idea of God in a culture, but the dignity of man. It destroys the dignity and the real humanity of man as we have been created, our autonomy, our freedom. Freedom is not the gift of government, it is the gift of God. And this our Constitution says quite well. But in socialism, man is the means to an end of government power and control. And do not ever forget this. Our president said it not long ago. This is not about economics. This is about power and control. Power and control. And when man is diminished, mankind, humanity, when we are diminished, death follows. Now, the 20th century saw the growth of socialism and the spread of communism around the world. It was the bloodiest century in human history. Many American soldiers lost their lives fighting against communism and for freedom and faith. But just in the countries, the communist countries, socialist countries themselves, 3 million were slaughtered under Lenin. Upwards to 60 million people were slaughtered by Stalin. 45 million people were butchered in just 4 years by Mao Zedong. Millions are starved and slaughtered in the prison state that is now North Korea. Add in the millions who were killed in the killing fields of Vietnam and Cambodia, the current starvation of the people of Venezuela. Venezuela has been a beautiful country with great oil reserves, and yet now, as the effect of socialism, it is in chaos, and the people are starving. This is the result of socialism. Nothing leads more to death than life without God. When you diminish the dignity of people. As Christians, we hold that life is sacred from the womb to the tomb. That every life is a promise of God and bears the image of God, whether born or unborn, whether young or old, whether male or female. We believe God. And because we believe God, we believe that we have been created for a purpose, that God does have a plan for our lives. But in socialism, you're just a part of the machine. You're just expendable at any cost for the sake of the state and for the sake of the state's goals, which is ultimately power. Thirdly, socialism leads to misery, poverty, disease, and as I've been describing, to death. Whereas the Bible teaches freedom and work and creativity and innovation and service and advancement and abundant life, Everyone in this room, in some way, you have lived life to the fullest. You have established businesses. You have worked hard. You're giving back. But in socialism, it minimizes the creativity and the innovation of the society and eliminates the motivation to do anything. Margaret Thatcher said the trouble with socialism is that eventually they run out of other people's money. Socialism as an economic system is an epic failure. It's happened in the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, Zimbabwe, an economic failure. But more than that, it is a spiritual failure. In America, socialism has produced the welfare state. Years ago, I heard my dear friend and brother, Dr. Adrian Rogers, very close to the Dobsons. He quoted something that he never took credit for the statement, but he quoted it so often it became ascribed to him. It was actually a statement made by a gentleman by the name of Gerald Smith that was appeared in the U.S. Congressional Record in 1958. But it's powerful. It says, "You cannot legislate the poor into freedom by legislating the wealthy out of freedom. What one person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. The government cannot give anybody anything that the government does not first take from somebody else. When half of the people get the idea that they don't have to work because the other half is going to take care of them, and when the other half gets the idea that it does no good to work because somebody else is going to get what they work for, that, my friend, is the end of any nation. And the conclusion is you cannot multiply wealth by dividing it." This is socialism. Socialism is stealing. The Bible teaches the value of hard work from the very opening chapters of the Bible. That man is to have dominion over all the earth. Genesis 2:15. Work is a privilege, not a curse. Don't get the idea that the curse that came as a result of sin was a curse on work. No. Work is a privilege. The curse isn't the fact that we have to work. Work is a privilege. We work, we worship. It's the same thing. There's no separation between the secular and the spiritual in the believer's life. The Bible says, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. It's a sin to ignore the poor. We're told many ways and many times that we're to help the poor, and that's the responsibility of the church and the ministry of the church. And so many cannot work. I'm not talking about those who cannot work. But the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And the freedom to choose your career, to hear your calling from God, to earn a living, that's taught in the Bible. That's taught in God's word, as well as private ownership. Somebody says, what about Acts chapter 4? When it tells us of those Christians in the church, because there were poor widows and others in the church who needed financial support, that all the Christians pool their resources in the church, and it's all described there in Acts chapter 4. And because they pooled their resources, they were able to minister to the poor and minister to the people in their community. Well, first of all, that was not a government program. That was the work of the church internally. Second of all, it was temporary and not permanent, because you see work as everywhere Paul traveled around the earth on his missionary journeys, he would establish churches and people were working everywhere, and that is never condemned, nor is private ownership. And it was Christ-centered, not government-centered. It was temporary and it was not coerced. It was voluntary. It was for a time, for a season, that the church established this to minister to one another in that particular time. And yet when you read the New Testament, believers all over the world owned property and had possessions. Paul called upon Christians to give generously. What are they supposed to give if they don't have property, if they don't own possessions? So you can't take a small slice of life and say, there you go, that's communism. Especially when you look at the Ten Commandments. They address private ownership when it says, do not steal. If I'm going to steal from you, That means you must own it. You must have it. Or you shall not covet another person's possessions. What the Bible does not endorse is a political system that takes from someone to give to someone else without their generosity. What the Bible teaches is generosity. That's what we're about in this room, isn't it? Is generosity. Socialism suppresses the poor and steals from the rich, legislates theft, and elevates envy. My time is up. But I just want to conclude by saying that we need to read the handwriting on the wall. This is not a problem that we are surfacing from the so-called radical right. This is not a small thing, what is happening to America. This is a cancer, and it's toxic, it's destructive, it's damaging. And God is warning his people. And God is giving us an opportunity in our generation to live freely, to live out our faith, to speak openly, to share Jesus. And think about America in the past as we have been able to be the greatest producer of evangelism and missions worldwide, all because of ownership, people earning a hard living, whether it be large or small, being able to have their property and to freely give so that the gospel can go around the world, so that ministries like this one can make a difference in people's lives. Socialism crushes generosity because no one ultimately has anything hardly to give. It crushes the soul. It crushes the innovation of a country and the creativity of an individual. It just makes someone a part of the machine. So it's a denial of the authority of God, the dignity of man. And as a result, we need to fight it. And we need to stand up against it. We need to tell our children and teach our children well, because if we don't, somebody else will. May God help us. Lord, we thank you for your word to us, which is life and health and strength. We pray, O God, that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, even on this subject, would be pleasing in your sight. I thank you for the people in this room. These are the men and women who are making a difference in the world for your glory. And so, Lord, encourage us and equip us in the battle. Keep us strong. Help us to know what the issues are and to fight the good fight of faith until you come again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, you've been listening to a special presentation from Dr. Jack Graham here on today's edition of Family Talk. And for more information about Dr. Graham and his ministry, you can visit our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Well, summer is here, and many I know are looking forward to spending quality time with family and friends. As parents, we may think back to the memories we had as children, like how your dad taught you how to ride a bike during the summer, or maybe gave you swimming lessons, or maybe he just tossed you in the lake and said, figure it out for yourself. Maybe mom made her famous pasta salad at family barbecues and always made sure you wore sunblock when you went outside. Well, we want to continue making great memories with our own kids and grandkids as well, and a dad's role in his son's life in particular is especially important. If you're a father or a father figure and you want to develop a better relationship with your son, we want to suggest that you get a copy of the brand new devotional from Mark Hancock, the CEO of Trail Life USA. It's entitled Trail Ready, 101 Devotions for Dads with Boys. We'll be happy to send you a copy as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount to the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute today. So get yours by visiting our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. You can also reserve your copy using the Family Talk app on your smartphone, or you can call us at 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Roger Marsh. Be sure to join us again Monday for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Till then, hope you and yours have a blessed weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
With another Dr. Dobson Minute, here's Dr. James Dobson.
Human hands are a marvel of workable complexity. But hands are much more than well-designed machinery. They also carry great meaning for us emotionally. My mother had soft, feminine hands. Her touch conveyed love to me in a way that compared with nothing else. What I remember most about my father in my early childhood was the size of his hands. They engulfed mine and made me proud and secure as I trotted along beside him on the street. As parents, the pressing question is, how will your children remember your hands? Hopefully, you'll use them to convey warmth and protection, comfort and affirmation and help, but never for purposes of abuse. If you do your job correctly as parents, then your hands, like my mother's, will leave a lasting legacy of love.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.